Hi, this is Danielle from the Jealous Curator, and this is episode 117 of Art for Your Ear. Today's episode is supported by Saatchi Art, the world's largest curated online gallery offering original art by independent artists from around the world. You can visit them and their gorgeous lineup of artists at saatchiart.com. So, today's episode has been a very long time coming. This artist was in my first book, Creative Block, and I own one of her pieces that is in the middle of my living room. Yep, she is the creator of Rosie, my pride and joy, the hot pink deer head that hangs above my fireplace. Rachel Denny is on the podcast today, finally. I've been trying to get her on here for ages, but she is a very, very busy lady. That's what happens when you make a ton of animal art while also having a whole bunch of real animals to take care of. But that's about all I know. Time to get past our Facebook friendship and learn a little bit more. Calling Rachel in a foggy pasture just outside of Portland. Hi, Rachel.
Hi.
It's so good to finally actually talk to you.
Yeah, we've contacted each other via email quite often. So
yeah, for years. Literally yeah. For years. And so you... Oh, am I echoing? Can you hear me echoing?
Just a little bit.
Okay. Well, we're lucky that this is even happening technologically wise. So we're just going to go. If there's echoes, I'm sorry, everybody listening. Rachel and I are just so happy this is actually happening because there's Wi-Fi and there's Skype and blah, blah. So we're going to just do our best. So you were in Creative Block, which was years ago now. I have one of your deer trophies in my living room.
Yes.
And
has a good home.
Yeah, she has a very good home. We named her Rosie because she's hot pink.
Good.
Yeah.
Yes.
And she just watches TV. Her neck is craned to look at the TV. So she's just watches TV with us. But she's beautiful and I love her. And I'm so excited to finally talk to you. And you know, we're Facebook friends, so I know what's happening in your day to day, but I don't actually know, you know, your whole background and how you got to where you are. So first of all, where did you grow up and were you a super artsy kid, wherever that was?
I grew up in Idaho and Montana. I was actually born in Portland, but I don't really remember my Oregon years. I was pretty young, but mostly Idaho and Montana, pretty rural areas usually.
And were you on sort of farms? Were there a lot of animals back then too?
We moved around a lot. So, I mean, we always had dogs and cats, but never really that many farm animals. We lived on one property once that was very, very rural, and the property owner had a lot of cattle and there were a lot of wild animals around at that point, which was very exciting for me at that age.
Yeah, I guess so.
I really loved it.
And then, so were you making stuff all the time when you were little? Were you the drawing kid or what were you like?
I was definitely the drawing kid. I was kind of quiet. We kind of moved around a lot because we weren't very wealthy. So, but my mom has always made sure that I had drawing materials and books. So any book I wanted, I could have pretty much. And always pencils and paints and papers. It was a nice, quiet hobby for a kid to have.
Yeah, oh, that's so nice. And so did you ever think that being an artist when you grew up was a thing?
I did. That's all I was going to be. Well, there was a short period when I was really young. I thought maybe I'd be a horse jockey, but that wasn't going to happen. I was, you know, a very tall child, so.
Okay, got to realign your priorities.
I know.
So that was always the plan.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I thought in my high school years, you know, I'd do something like graphic design or illustration, you know, because being just a plain artist, you know, isn't a way to have a career or make any money to live on, apparently, but I've done okay.
Yeah, you have. And so where did you go to school?
I went to Pacific Northwest College of Art from, I think, 1993 to 1994, and then I kind of dropped out. I was very young, right out of high school, and maybe wasn't quite ready for all of the college experience yet, and then also my financial aid kind of ran out on me, so just sort of happened. Yeah, it was okay. I'm kind of okay with that.
And so did you go back home for a bit, or what did you do?
No, I pretty much stayed in Portland and worked a lot of jobs, a lot of different things, and did some gallery sitting. I had some artsy jobs. I had some coffee shop jobs, you know, all the young person things.
Yeah.
But always kept making artwork, and then got into a gallery in 2000 was my first gallery exhibit.
Wow. So, and so what were you doing when you were making? Like, was it still drawing and painting then, or when did you get into doing all your sculptural work?
My early work was a lot different than what I do now. I made sort of sculptural shadow box sort of things, a lot of photography and printmaking and a lot of different imagery. And a lot of them would be coated in resin or waxes and translucent materials.
And so were you just completely self-taught then? How to do that resin stuff and everything?
Pretty much. I worked at a glass shop for a while doing glass tiles, fusing and firing them. And that introduced me to the resin. And kind of, I just went crazy with it and used it on a lot of different things at that point.
Wow,
and now
that's so cool.
I'm at the point where I cast and things like that with it. So.
And so what did you say, 2000 was your first show?
It was my first official gallery exhibit, yeah.
And so what was that work?
That was with the shadow boxes. And I did have a few installation pieces as well. So
okay.
I used a lot of found objects, a lot of found photography. My father gave me a huge bag of really, really old photographs from my family that were a surprise to me. And so I explored those quite a bit too.
Wow, that's so cool. I didn't know. See, this is why we're doing this. I did not know. I was like, what came before the deer heads? I have no idea. Okay, so how did a deer head show up? Was that the first sort of thing? Was that the first animal in that sort of style of work that you did?
The deer definitely were. I had a show at that gallery many years later that animals were kind of starting to take over at that point, where it did have some shadow boxes with some natural elements, sort of trees were involved and deer pieces, a polar bear. And the work was in transition at that point. So I don't think the show was very cohesive, but I was definitely exploring a lot of those new ideas involving the animal world. And one of my first pieces was a knit deer head, but I didn't show it to anyone because it was so different from all of my other artwork. I mean, so it just hung in our house for, you know, a year, and people would come over like, what's that? And they get very excited. I'm like, oh, it's this new thing I made. I don't know. But I ended up showing it to a curator, and he said, if that's what you want to do, you should just go with it, run with it, you know? So I did, and I felt pretty good. It's very challenging doing sculptural work.
Yeah, no kidding. What year was that?
Maybe 2005.
Okay.
Maybe six. I don't quite remember.
What color was that one?
That one was turquoise.
Horns or
and
no horns?
No horns. It was just a doe. Mm-hmm. And then shortly after that, the original piece I wanted to do was a chrome deer for the exhibit I was having. And I just didn't have the technical know-how to make a metal piece like that at the time. So, and all my ideas sort of weren't visually satisfying to me. So I ended up making a full-size, life-size doe out of lead. So she was covered in lead, kind of upholstered with lead pieces and scraps.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's amazing. And so, wow. Because now you do all sorts of different, like, I mean, I often think of you because of the knitted stuff, but you do all sorts of different things. But was it the knitted stuff for the, at the beginning majority? I guess not, if there was a lead dough in there.
Yeah, I've kind of done everything a lot, but I definitely was known for the knit pieces. Those really took off, I think, on the internet. So everyone thinks of those when they think of me, for sure.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. I know. And so actually, is that a good thing?
Oh, yeah. It's great. I love that people appreciate them and they're kind of cozy and people can relate to them in a way.
Yeah. So. You know, I was so surprised by actually is how light they are.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Because they look like they would be, because like, they're life size and everything, and so you would just assume that they are super heavy. And when Rosie arrived, I couldn't believe how light she was, because I don't know, what is the shape that you make first?
It's a hardened polyurethane foam. So sometimes I'll carve them out of kind of like house insulation foam, the big pink blocks that you get.
Yeah, yeah.
And then sometimes I'll get taxidermy forms and kind of carve them up and sort of reshape them, like cut their heads off and put them at different angles and kind of fuse them together differently so they have better shapes and they come in and things like that.
Wow,
it just depends on the piece.
And so why, that's why I was asking about your childhood, like, and what you thought, you know, if you guys had animals. And so where did this love of, you know, like, why did you do that first deer head?
I've always loved animals. As a kid, that's all I drew were horses and deer and wolves and just all those things that were around us at the time when I was a kid. But then I kind of grew out of that in art school and in my college years and experimented with other things.
And then you came back.
I just came back to it and I love it. So, and I spend a lot of time where I live with animals, which I love too. So,
Yes, we're going to get to that because that's what I know about on Facebook. There's a lot of crazy animals in your life that are alive.
That's true. It's true.
Yeah. So when I found you, I started my blog in 2009 and you were probably in the first year for sure. Mm-hmm. And so I went all, you know, deer head crazy, like the rest of the interweb. And, should I save this for the not so speedy speed round? I'm going to save it. So the knitted stuff, but then what's the horse? Is it pennies?
Oh yeah. The horse, the flattened pennies.
Yeah.
So they've all been hand hammered, or I did put some on the train tracks, which I probably shouldn't have done, but.
Oh my gosh. That's crazy. Like how long does a piece like that take you?
Oh, some of the larger pieces they're all hand applied. They're all hand drilled, and then copper nails are adhering them to the form. That one probably took a year to make, maybe.
Oh my gosh! Do you have a bunch of stuff going on at once?
Always,
so that you can go, yeah, because that would be tedious otherwise.
Yeah, it's very tedious. Sometimes my hands get sore, or sometimes glue is drying, or resin's curing, or any number of things. So I usually have anywhere from, I don't know, 3 to 6 pieces going at once.
Yeah, actually, a few years ago, did you move? Because I remember you sending me photos of your new studio.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
We lived in Portland, I think, 5 years ago. Now we've moved out to the country since then.
Right, and that studio is fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
And so do you, that's kind of what made me think about that you must have a zillion things going, because you sent me a studio shot. And it had a zillion things at different stages going. And then plus, of course, you've got all of your animals in real life to take care of.
Yes, they keep me busy.
Yes, which was part of our scheduling issues, that because there's horses to be fed and bison. What are those, buffalo? What have you got out there?
They're yaks.
They're yaks.
Yes, we have 4 yaks.
Oh, I love it when you post photos of them when it snows and they're out there like frolicking around.
They love the snow. They're definitely cold weather creatures. So,
okay. Well, yeah. I'm just gonna ask about the yaks now. Why did you? When and where did you get 4 yaks?
That was kind of a odd impulse we had after we moved in. Maybe we'd lived here 6 or 7 months, and we didn't know we'd get this much property. And the fields, we have a lot of pasture that we didn't quite know what to do with at the time, and we weren't really familiar with what we should do with it. So we thought, animals, they'll eat the grass. We won't have to mow it. We were paying some guys to come mow our property, you know, the first couple of years. It was very expensive. So we thought we should have something useful here. We looked into a few different creatures like alpacas and goats and all kinds of things. But then we found this ad late at night on Craigslist for some yaks. So we talked to the lady and she was wonderful. And we went up to Washington and met her yaks and talked to her for a long time. And then we ended up buying some from her, and they're pretty interesting animals. They're pretty smart. They're agile. They're not stinky like cows are. So they're pretty fun to have around.
That is crazy. Okay. So do you, cause you have a few yak pieces now in your portfolio. Was that before?
Yeah.
Was that before
no, that
or
was after?
Okay.
Yeah. One of our yaks is really handsome. He's white with big black spots, and I just had to make a piece of him. That's all.
What's his name?
Sampa.
Oh.
He came with that name.
And so, okay, well, my son, first of all, like llamas and alpacas are that's his dream animal.
Llamas are pretty fun.
Would you ever get those?
I think my husband is kind of at our limit right now for animals, but I'll probably get more eventually. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
What do you have right now? 4 yaks.
We have 4 yaks, chickens, 2 horses. And dogs and cats. So it's pretty busy around here usually.
Yeah, that is really, really cool, actually. And yeah, that's why it's so fun to see all the photos, because it's like you are not just creating these animals in your art. Like you live with them, literally.
It's true.
It is true. And so are there deer wandering around you too?
Yeah, there are. We kind of live in the woods, in the foothills of the Cascades, Mount Hood National Forest, just at the edge of it. And we have all sorts of wildlife coming through our land. I have a game camera set up in the woods so I can see them. So I see coyotes, I see deer, I saw a bobcat, raccoons, possums, all sorts of things.
Wow. See, I saw that on Facebook too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have all sorts of crazy things wandering through our yard too. But I have never incorporated them into my art quite the way that you do. And so, well, I know that they keep you busy, but your art, you are so, that's the other reason it was hard to get you on here. You are so busy with your work.
It has been a busy few months for sure.
Yeah.
I had a couple of nice commissions and I have an exhibit up right now in Portland that comes down the 29th. So and it's been real busy.
Yeah. And so are you repped by, is it the same gallery that you were, that you started with a long time ago, or are you repped by anybody?
I have in Portland an art consultant, a Vernissage gallery with Marianne Deffenbaugh. So she's representing me right now and she's great. So that's about it right now.
And then, so do you just plan out your year? Because, I mean, if the penny horse takes you a year to do, like how long, how far ahead of time do you know you've got shows coming?
Usually I hope for at least a year in advance for that. It doesn't always happen, but
wow.
I do need a lot of time to make my work and to make the body of work how I want it to be made. That I don't like rushing. It just doesn't work with my pieces at all.
Yeah, no kidding. And so do you have like, oh, because you know that mirror snake you did?
Uh-huh, yep. Ooh, I remember that one.
So great. That must have taken forever.
It didn't take that long. I actually was really obsessed with that one. So my husband would have to call me in from the studio. I just work on it for hours and hours, just cutting the glass. So I hand cut all the little mirror tiles and I sculpted him out of clay with an aluminum armature and I just kept working on it until it was done.
And so how did you, like, were you just lying in bed one morning and you were like, I'm going to do a snake? Or please don't tell me you saw one, like, squiggle across your front doorstep or something.
Well, we definitely see them around, but they don't, they're not an animal that frightens me or anything. And we don't really have any poisonous ones here, so that probably helps.
Yes. But we have rattlesnakes here, which is what freaks me out. Yeah.
Yeah, those are scary.
Well, and we have garter snakes, too, that look exactly like rattlesnakes as their defense mechanism.
Yep.
So you never really know what you're looking at until you're too close to be able to tell. And so, yeah, I've got some issues. So the fact that I like that piece of yours is a true compliment because I have some major phobias, but it's just so, so beautiful. So yeah, did you, and I mean, it's, I guess it's still a creature, but where did he come from out of all of the...
I kind of was just thinking about vanity and sort of this mirror of like the, one of the sins, I guess, is where that thought came from.
So
he's got the mirrors, but he's a little bit evil, but he's also really beautiful and
so cool.
Reflective.
Yeah. And so are you super handy?
I am pretty handy, actually, not to toot my own horn, but.
Toot away. No, because the fact that you're like, oh yeah, and then cutting glass and then this and that, and just like that. You know, that kind of being handy like that is very handy because I am not that way at all. And so, you know, I see your work and like the fact that Rosie is so light and, you know, you figured out how to carve out of foam or whatever you're doing. It's just like, wow, that it must just be an instinctual way of being for you.
I think it is.
Yeah.
It just sort of happens. I have to figure things out.
Yeah.
And also it's enjoyable, that challenge to figure things out. It keeps things pretty interesting for me in the studio.
Yeah. Have you ever taught, actually?
I have not, no. I just hang out in my studio, mostly.
I love it. And you never went back to art school. You did that?
I did not.
Yeah.
I always had friends in art school, and I enjoy going to museums and that sort of thing, but I didn't really feel like I needed to go back to art school.
Yeah, after, obviously. Yeah, no kidding.
Usually I'll take workshops if there's something I don't understand, just the nuances of kiln work and that sort of thing with glass. I'm hoping to take some glass classes.
Well, yes. Am I not seeing glass? Is that glass that's popping up on your site, or is that resin? What's going on over there?
It's a mix, actually. I can do resin casting in my studio. I have a shed in the backyard that all the toxic sort of things happen. So I have a resin shed, and I can make molds myself and do the casting. But I don't have a kiln, so I'm still learning a little bit about the glass work. And I have one glass piece in my new exhibit, too.
And what's that?
It's a life-size howling coyote bust. So.
Wow. And so did you have to take it? Do you have to go visit somebody with a kiln?
Yes, I did. I made him originally out of clay, and then I made a silicone mold. And then I cast him in wax. And then I took the wax to a glass shop in Seattle, and they helped me out. So Carrie Johnson Glass in Seattle did a really great job with that.
Okay, so do you Google a lot?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Who doesn't? So much information out there.
I know. That is so cool. Like, who was I was talking to somebody just a few weeks ago, and they're like, oh, yeah. And then I Googled this, and then I Googled that. And I got to see. I mean, you know, it's a pretty great way to figure these things out.
Yeah, it is, definitely.
And then you've got your little toxic shed back there. And
yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
My respirator and all that sort of thing.
Wow. So what's your day like? Like, do you just go right out to the studio all day, or what's like a usual day look like?
I usually get up around 7:30 every morning with no alarm, which is nice. And then I have to take care of all the animals. I have to feed them, water everybody, and have breakfast and that sort of thing for myself. And then I'll do some drawing and things inside the house, take the dog for a walk on the property, and then get busy until late afternoon. And that could be anything from making sketches like I did today for commission, or working in the studio on a number of things. So,
do you ever go back in there in the evening, or is that not a thing you do?
You know, I don't usually. I have in the past, but if I have a big project going, I do definitely. So right before my exhibit opened, I was in the studio for very long stretches, like 12-hour-ish sort of things, just trying to get everything completed on time and making sure everything looked just right.
Yeah. Are you, can you just run into the house? Like, is it right there?
Yeah. Yeah. I built a studio kind of not too far from the house at all. So it's pretty easy to go in and out.
It's not like you have to hop on horseback and like gallop through the fields past the yaks to go get a cup of coffee. No.
Definitely not. That'd be tedious.
I have all these pictures in my mind mainly because again, I sound like a stalker. I really don't stalk you. But the picture you just posted the other day of the yak in the fog.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of what I picture your life being like.
Well, the mornings are like that. The afternoons are different. I don't know.
Is your husband an artist?
He went to art school, actually. He went to PNCA as well and studied photography. So he does do some photography, and he plays music, but he doesn't really practice his art all the time. Hmm. He's definitely creative.
I was just wondering, like, picturing, you know, him coming to get you when you're working on the snake and be like, come on now, time to eat and refuel. I was just wondering if he understood, you know, that part, and I'm sure that he does.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes. He's very supportive.
I was working on the new book that I'm writing, which is super exciting, but they've also asked me to do the painting for the cover.
Oh, great. That sounds fantastic.
Yeah, which is great, but then also a bit deer in headlights-ish because, you know, it's just like that. It just feels like a lot of pressure, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, and I was really sick last week, and so I was fevery, but I was like, oh, I got to do this. And I was just in the studio just like ruining everything. Like nothing good was happening, right? I went through all my paint, like paper, and just like bad. And my husband, who's not an artist, but very loving, came in and just held me by my shoulders and said, I think that you need to come out of here now.
Time for a break.
Yeah. He's like, I think this is not the time that you should be doing this. And I was like, yeah, good call. Anyway, I have sorted it out since, but I waited till the I waited till the fever broke and then went back in.
Shoot. Yeah. That's a good plan. If it's not working, you do need a break.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. So one thing I wanted to know, this relates to Rosie. So she is hot pink, cable knit. Now, I don't know if I'm making this up, but the knit stuff that you use for your creatures, is that from thrift shops and stuff like that? Or where do you get your knit stuff? And then do you dye it? That's what I'm wondering if I made up in my mind.
I do dye it sometimes if I don't have quite the right color. And then I've dyed them after they're already on the form sometimes. I have a big water trough I'll use for that sometimes. Uh-oh, the dogs are excited.
Oh. a yak has broken loose.
Oh, my gosh. They're crazy dogs.
Well, I'm waiting for mine to start going crazy, too. And I've got a kid who's sick and coughing, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah. We'll both have sounds. Yeah.
Okay, back to topic.
Yeah.
I do have a huge armoire of collected textiles in my studio. So I collect things from antique stores. I've always been sort of a garage sale and antique store junkie. And I just keep collecting things that are just beautiful fabrics that maybe have a stain or a hole that nobody really wants that bad. And I kind of enjoy resurrecting these materials that were kind of loved at one point and can be used again for something, I think.
Yeah, oh, I love that. I can't remember. It must be on your site, or maybe it was one of your answers in Creative Block or something. And I remember just thinking how beautiful that was, and like those turquoise. I think they're probably cashmere. Those turquoise bunnies.
Uh-huh. I usually use Angora fiber for the bunnies. It just
Sure.
Makes sense. I know.
And are they dyed?
Yes, the turquoise one. I did sort of the tips of his ears and his nose and his legs to give him a little more life and shading, I think.
Wow, I can't believe you can do it when they're already on the thing. So you dip it in a big water
jar? I'll dip it. Sometimes I'll use a paintbrush to apply the dye and then kind of rinse it off carefully. It just depends on the piece once again. So.
Wow. I'm very jealous of your, like, do you ever have fear of that stuff? Like when you're like, oh, I'm going to cut up some glass. Or are you just like, yep, let's do this?
Sometimes I worry I'm going to destroy a piece. The dyeing could go awry if I drop the piece, or the colors just didn't turn out with the fabric. So I try to do tests before I do that sort of thing.
Yeah.
But I've done glass cutting in the past with one of my previous jobs. That's not very worrisome. And usually I'm just pretty handy and I go for it.
Do you ever get to a, like, so like mentioning the dye thing, do you ever get, have you had to like toss things that just didn't like... That there was a mishap, or are you able to like backtrack and fix it, or have you ever had to just toss something?
I think I have at one point. I think I tried to over dye something that was not quite the right color. So I definitely have been doing tests over the last many years now after a few accidents.
Oh dear.
Some colors don't mix, or the fiber content isn't quite right for dyeing. So I've gotten a lot more adept at it over the years.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. And I guess, so once you've got the whole... everybody all together and there's, you know, cable knit on a giant buck. If you mess something up, can you take it off? Or no, you've gone too far?
I can take it off, but it's destroyed. I have to start kind of from scratch at that point.
That must be slightly heartbreaking.
It is a little bit. A lot of work is wasted that way. And it happens occasionally for sure, but
yeah,
not
but
too frequently.
No, I was going to say at this stage, I'm sure you're a pro.
Pretty much, yeah. Definitely professional.
So what are you, so you're dabbling now in glass. Is the plan to get your own kiln?
It might be. I'm going to see how it goes. I'm not quite sure yet.
Yeah.
I just want to experiment a little bit more and kind of think about the material more as well.
Yeah. But are the textile covered pieces aren't going anywhere, are they?
Oh, no. No, oh. Definitely not.
Phew.
I still enjoy working with fibers of all sorts, and I love making like the puffed shaggy coverlets and that sort of thing. A lot of that's hand bound and knotted too. So
yeah, those are so great. Like, and that, when did those start? Just a couple of years ago?
I guess so, maybe 3 years. Can't remember what the first one is. It might have been the yak, actually.
That's what I'm thinking. That's what I seem to remember seeing that and being like, oh, look at that. And so do you ever find, like, since you are so handy and it seems like you can make anything into anything, will you just come across something like a penny and be like, huh, what could I do with this? Or is it more that you're thinking about it and then you go and find the material that'll work?
Usually I'm thinking about it and I find the material. One of my recent pieces is a life-size bull head, and he's covered in recycled belts, so I've kind of piece together leathers that are, you know, worn and reattach them to him to kind of give him back his original skin, in a sense.
Yeah.
So that was the original idea for that one. And then sometimes I just do see a really exciting material though too. And I'm like, oh, I have to use this. And maybe that will inspire a piece.
See, that's what I'm kind of jealous of, is that you can do that, you know, that because I find all sorts of things and I'm like, I don't know. And so the fact that you can kind of take it back to your studio and work your magic and turn it into these creatures. And so I know that you sell like crazy. So do you ever get to, like, is your studio ever jam-packed with critters that you don't know what to do with? Or are things moving and selling so fast that you're never, like, you know, in a pile of them?
It's often busy in there, but things also move around. So it's kind of a cycle. Things slowly filter out. And then right before I have a show, of course, there's no room on the walls. So it just depends on what time of year it is and what's going on.
Are you ever sad to let any, like, do you ever get connected to any of them?
Definitely. There's a few pieces that I regret selling. I'm like, I kind of wish I still had that one. Luckily, our house is very small, so we have kind of an old Victorian farmhouse with very small rooms, and I've tried putting a few of my bigger pieces in here, but they really dominate the room, so I have to let them go to a new home.
Oh, well, that one piece that you have of the full, I think it's a, does it have antlers? The full blue deer that's bound to that stump?
Yeah, he has antlers. His antlers are coming unraveled on the stump. There's a little barbed wire on the stump.
Yeah, so. Oh, that one kind of breaks my heart. What is happening there?
He's just sort of unraveling. It's just sort of I have seen in person, sometimes deer get caught up on barbed wire fences and they can't get loose, which is just heartbreaking. Yeah. That's one of those things that other types of fencing would be much safer for animals, and it's not really that necessary. I guess cattle are more prone to avoid barbed wire than some wild animals. That's another thing with pronghorns right now. They just did a study where they go under the barbed wire fences. They will not leap over them, but then they end up scraping their backs open and get, you know, illnesses from the open wounds. So hopefully, I know there's just all these studies that can be done. So hopefully they'll change that soon. I think they're trying to talk to ranchers to change that idea. But that was kind of a commentary on the animals kind of getting hurt on our sort of limits that we put on them.
Yeah. Oh, that, I mean, you can see the minute you look at that piece that it's heartbreaking. And so does that have a new home? Cause that's big.
No, he lives in my studio right now.
Does he?
The larger pieces are more difficult for people to take into their homes too, I think.
But yeah.
I don't mind keeping him around.
No, he's gorgeous. And I when I did that show at Allison Mill in Toronto and got you to put a piece in, they really wanted that.
Shipping would have been crazy.
Shipping would have been crazy, yeah. So we went with a trophy instead. That's fine. And I had you in the Creative Block show too in San Francisco. And that was so cool because I curated it, but I wasn't there for the install. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't really know where anything was going to go. And I think the piece that you put in for that one was yellow. Uh-huh. And you came in and it was on the first main feature wall when you came in, and it was just gorgeous. It looked so good with everything. And so that's why I find it so funny that I feel so connected to you, but we've never actually talked, but like I've had you in so many things and I've been paying attention for so long. And so, yeah, it's so funny to finally, after all this time, actually speak to each other.
I know.
It's weird.
It is weird a little bit, but it's pretty good. It's going pretty well, I think.
I think so, too, yeah. Well, you know, me stalking you on Facebook really helps because, you know, then I've got the inside scoop.
I know. You see everything.
I know. It's kind of bad, actually. And so now you've got all your creatures. You're dipping into glass. This big show that you have on right now, is it a solo show?
It is.
Mm-hmm. And so what have you got in there? Like, is it... Because what I love about your shows is that things are not always just all on the walls. You know, you've got mm-hmm. different pieces. And so is there a favorite in there right now, if people can go and see this show before it comes down?
My favorite piece is the bowl that I made. He turned out pretty well. I was really happy with how the texture turned out. And all the belts I found had a lot of interesting sort of embossing on them and different textures and colors. And he has a full-size resin horns, too, that I cast. So they're kind of an amber color, but they kind of contrast nicely with the leather, I thought. I was pretty happy with that. My husband spent a long time polishing them for me, too, which was very sweet of him.
Oh, that's nice. And yeah. So when you have that idea and you set about to finding leather belts, how long does it take you till you've got a collection that's big enough to do your thing?
A while. I usually start on the piece and hope that I find more in time.
Yeah.
So I was searching everywhere within, you know, a 50-mile radius of our house pretty much for last 3 months before the show.
Yeah, that's a lot of pressure on you to, like, hit all the right thrift shops and find all the right stuff. Yeah. How far are you from Portland?
We're about, maybe 45 minutes to an hour away. It's a little bit. My husband works in Portland, so...
Yeah, well, that's not too bad then. I guess at least you can, I'm in a really teeny little town, and so when I am looking for collage bits and pieces, like in the old book sections, I only have a handful of places to hit. Now, granted, small town thrift shops are awesome because they're filled with gems.
Yes.
But it's not the same as when I lived in Vancouver or Toronto, where you can hit so many different places. Yeah. But yeah, because I was just thinking, like, it takes you so long to make the piece, but then of course it's going to take you a long time to source all the stuff. Like the horse thing, did you hammer all those pennies?
I hammered a lot of them. And then we also set some on the railroad tracks, which I think is illegal, so maybe we should do that.
Yeah.
And
it wasn't illegal when we were kids, was it?
No,
didn't
it wasn't.
Everybody do it? And then they probably realized that it is dangerous, and so we're not allowed to do it anymore.
No, it's not allowed. So don't do that, everybody.
Okay, everybody. Keep your pennies at home and with a hammer.
Yes. Oh, definitely.
So you've got this great big show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have more great big shows coming up? What's going on next?
I have a small commission coming up, and I'm just going to kind of take it easy and work on some pieces. I'm going to work in clay a little bit, I think. There are a few pieces in my sketchbook I'd like to make, so I'll just keep working on work and see where that goes. I might take some classes, like the glass class, and maybe a ceramics class would be fun. So
nice.
I think just keep learning and keep making stuff.
Does it feel like, I guess because you've been running towards this finish line for a while for this show, it must feel like a nice little like, ah.
Yes. I've still been very busy for some reason, but it's been nice to take a little break. I had a commission at the same time, so I delivered 9 pieces to Whistler right before my show too, which was kind of crazy having the 2 deadlines at the same time pretty much.
Wow. Oh, I love Whistler. What did you do up there? Was it for like a hotel or for a personal thing?
It was for a ski lodge. So
oh.
I did a series of deer kind of bursting out of the wall for them with their leaping out of the wall with their front legs kind of all knit.
That is awesome. Like for the front entryway or something?
I think it was for the restaurant. So I just got the press thing today. I'll send it over to you so you can take a peek.
Yeah. I'll have to go there next time I'm up there.
Yes, you should.
We go every year because my husband, crazy husband, does the Grand Fondo, which is the bike ride from Vancouver up to Whistler.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Great.
I know. And I was like, you know, you can just come in the car with us.
Yeah.
Instead of riding your bike for 5 hours. But no. Yeah, why would you do that? And Charlie and I just pass him in the car, honk the horn, woo-woo, and then just meet him up there.
Supportive. Very
good. Very, very supportive. But yeah, we'll have to go and find it. That is really, really cool. That's a huge commission, though. Like,
yeah,
that must have taken forever.
I think, geez, I don't know, maybe a year I worked on that one.
Yeah.
I worked a lot this year, so.
Yeah, I know, again.
A lot of studio hours.
Yeah, no kidding. And so do you, is the majority of your work commissions at this point?
I do a lot of commissions, definitely. And it's nice having that. It's fun working with people and kind of envisioning their space, and they usually give me a few guidelines, and then I can kind of go crazy after I get that part of it done for them.
Are they for things like that, for like a ski lodge type thing, or do you also do them for people's homes?
I definitely do them for people's homes, too.
Yeah.
I had a couple visit my studio last summer, and they looked at my work and were pretty excited, but they really wanted a specific animal for their house. So they chose a moose, a full-size moose, and I worked on that for them, and it was a pretty fun commission. They were really nice.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
What was he coated in?
He had a layer of sort of soft cashmere and then an overlayer on top of that of a crocheted sort of lace work.
Oh, yes. I think I saw that. Actually, what's the piece that you just, I think it's for your show with the 2 bucks with their antlers tangled up?
Yeah. Yeah. That's a similar technique with the sort of the soft cashmere underneath and then the antique crochet over that.
Yeah, it reminds, like, my grandmother must have had a throw like that or something.
Yes, my great-grandmother made one of those. And my mom had a great story of, you know, going to the store every couple months and getting more cotton for her to hand crochet all of that. And that so much work and time went into those pieces of fabric, and now they're just sitting around gathering dust or have a couple little stains on them or people don't use them anymore. So.
I know, and it's so sad, and it instantly takes you back. Like, as soon as I saw that one, like, I, you know, I had an emotional reaction because it reminded me so much of my grandmother. And then I actually had an artist named Lindsay Arnold on a few weeks ago, and she was talking about, she does paintings of doilies.
Uh-huh.
And she was saying the same thing. Oh. Something's outside.
They're wild, yeah.
Something's out there. Coyotes or something.
Definitely.
Anywho, so Lindsay was saying about doilies that, you know, the hours and attention that goes into these, and now you can just buy them in stacks for like 10 cents at a thrift shop.
Oh.
You know, and it's kind of heartbreaking that kind of craftsmanship is just not really valued. And so that was exactly what I thought when I first saw that new piece with the tangled antlers.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any stuff from your family that you have used, like fabrics?
I usually keep that. I don't use my own fabrics.
Yeah.
I do have a really beautiful antique crocheted coverlet that my, you know, great grandmother made, and I would never use that for my own work. Just because I want to keep that for myself and as a keepsake. And
yeah.
I really value that craftsmanship.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, that would be really hard. And especially imagine if that was what the one where the mishap happened. Oh, boy.
I know.
Yeah.
That would be awful.
I know that would be bad. For a while there, I was using family photos. Yeah. Oh, actually, in your resin pieces, did you use the actual photos or did you make copies?
I had a dark room at the time, so I would photograph them and then use those. So I didn't actually use the real photograph.
Yeah. See, that's what I find really hard is my dad has given me stacks of photographs of my grandmother on the other side, on his mom, but she died before I was born. So he gave me this big stack of these amazing photos for her. And he's like, oh, yeah, you could use them in your work. And I was just like, no. Yeah, I just can't. I can't bring myself to do it. And but, yeah, I could get clever and try and replicate them somehow. But anywho.
There are a lot of nice printers now, too. I'm sure you could just scan them even and that sort of thing would work really well.
Yeah, I have to figure out for my stuff, like what I love so much about collage is cutting things out of old books. The paper quality is so nice that if you try and, you know, like reprint things, it's the paper's not the same. And so anyway, but I cannot make myself cut up any of that personal stuff at all. So I hear you. Yeah. Okay, and so lots of commissions, busy, busy, busy. Now you're going to sort of chill out for a little bit. Until you get the call for the next big giant thing, which will probably be tomorrow.
I hope not. I'd like a little break, I think, right now.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll go
2 months.
Well, does it usually go quiet over Christmas a little bit?
It really varies. I really can't guess when it's going to be busy. So it just hits me all of a sudden, usually.
Do you ever say no to stuff?
Yes, I do say no.
Yeah.
Sometimes commissions will just not be suited towards my work at all, or maybe they'll have a way too specific of a thing that they want that isn't quite how I want my work to go. So just occasionally it just doesn't work out between a client and I. So
yeah. Well, that's good. I just know that like with a lot of artists and even freelance designers, I freelanced for years, that when work comes, you have this weird sense of just take it in case nothing else ever comes ever again.
Yeah.
Do you ever have that panic? Yeah.
Definitely. I mean, before this work happened, that I just the whole spate of the commission and the show to gear up for, I did definitely had a little dry spell for a while. And there's always like, uh-oh, when's the next thing going to happen? Uh-oh. But something always happens. You just kind of have to have faith and keep working.
Yep, absolutely. And I think what you're doing now is the perfect thing to do. I mean, I don't think you're going to be quiet for long, but, you know, for people listening, when you hit those dry spells, it's so smart to go and take a class or like, you know, try something like clay or, you know, do something that you've wanted to do that is not part of your regular practice and see where that ends up taking you.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the first deer head that you did that you hung in your house for a year, like, you know, that you didn't think anything would happen with kind of has changed your life.
Completely. Yes.
Yeah. That's so cool. I'm so happy I have one.
Me too. That's great.
Charlie said, my 11-year-old said the other day, because his friends don't come, I don't know, he tends to go to his friends' houses, probably because of our two crazy wiener dogs that would attack anybody that walked in, but he said, people must think we have a really weird house. And I was like, why? It's a pretty normal house. And he's like, we have so much weird art everywhere.
Uh-oh.
And he's like, and he's pointing out all the different things. He goes, and there's a big pink deer head above our fireplace. And I was like, it's Rosie. She's awesome. And he's like, I know, but do we know anybody else that has a pink deer head above their fireplace? And I was like, no, we don't. And that's why we love her.
Of course not.
I just thought it was so funny. Like, you will one day totally appreciate how awesome it is that there's a hot pink cashmere cable knit deer head above your fireplace, kid. So enjoy it. Okay, so you're going to chill out, and then I'm sure something giant will come anytime. Do you have anything planned, any shows planned, or no?
I do not, no.
Oh, that's good.
Nice. Yeah, it feels just fine.
Yeah.
I just want to kind of practice some new things and finish up some work that I have in process right now. And like I said, just try a couple new techniques.
Yeah, and just let it snow. And
yes,
let it be the holidays, and let those yaks frolic in the snow. I remember one time, I don't know if we were supposed to talk or something happened, and yaks got out of the fence.
That does happen very occasionally. It's true.
And you were like, you said something on Facebook, like, I've got to go. And like, you were out there like wrangling yaks. I was like, did you ever think wrangling yaks would be part of your like day-to-day life?
Not really. No, that never crossed my mind.
No, I kind of love that. And then to know that you were truly doing that, like you're not living downtown Portland, you're out there wrangling your yaks. And then you're in your studio actually like making a big yak head.
It's true. And then in the spring, I do comb them out. So they have really nice fiber. And I usually just sell the fiber, but I might use it eventually for something.
Well, I was going to ask you that, actually. So you've got yaks to mow your lawn, but do they do anything else? Like, can you...
Well, some people would probably eat them, but we will not be doing that.
No.
That's not an option for us at all.
No.
And in the springtime, I usually comb them out and get their fiber and collect it and clean it and then sell it to people who want to make really nice luxury yarns.
You should get somebody to do that and then give it back to you.
I have thought about it. There are other yak friends who send their yarn away and get it back. So,
yak friends. That might be the title of this episode.
Yak friends.
Everybody needs them. Everybody needs one. Okay, so are you ready for the not-so-speedy speed round?
Sure. What is that?
Well, when I first started the podcast, it was a speed round, but I'm so bad at asking just like one question and moving on. I always have follow-up. Mm-hmm. So then it has now turned into the not so speedy speed round.
Okay. Well, that sounds good then.
Yeah. So you can take your time. Okay.
<Sure.
laughs> Question number one, have you ever ridden a yak?
No, I have not. I've been tempted to, but ours aren't quite tamed to do that. So. Okay. People can.
Can you? Oh, okay. But safety says maybe not until they're not emotionally prepared for it.
Yeah, it could be dangerous.
Okay. Don't
but
jump
it does look really
yak.
Fun. I want to.
Yeah, no kidding. Are they huge?
They're not that big, though. The biggest one we have is probably around 800 pounds, maybe 7. We have 2 steers and 2 heifers.
Okay. Yeah. Don't jump on those just yet if they're not quite ready for you. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. The found sweaters. Have you ever found one with intent of using it on work and then just loved it too much and kept it for yourself to wear?
No, I haven't. I don't think actually.
Wow. See, I would have a problem giving them up to the artwork probably. I'd be like, oh, this is kind of a cool pink cashmere.
Well, a lot of times someone's shrunk them in the wash, or they have hideous stains somewhere, or holes that I don't feel like darning up.
Okay, good. Yeah,
usually the wrong size.
Yeah, okay, don't wear those.
Yes.
Okay, fair enough. Okay, since the holidays are coming up, favorite holiday dessert?
Oh, well, geez, I don't know. That's the hardest question you've asked me so far.
Do you like sweet treats?
I do. I really do.
Is that the problem? Because you can't pick a favorite?
Maybe. I can't think of anything holiday specific. I like pecan pie is pretty good.
Ooh, yeah.
Cookies are good. I don't know. They're all pretty good.
Have you ever had a Nanaimo bar?
What is that? No.
That's a Canadian thing. But I thought, I wonder if you're close enough to know about them. Nanaimo bars, they're like a square. And they're chocolate on the bottom, chocolate and coconut, and then they've got this like yellow creamy layer in the middle, and then melted chocolate on the top. Oh my God, they're so good.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah, and they're a really Christmassy thing, but unless you're Canadian, you don't know about those.
Yeah, I don't. It sounds exciting though.
Yes, they're delicious. We were up at Whistler actually a couple weeks ago. No, we weren't. We were at Big White. It looked like Whistler, but we were at Big White, which is a ski resort near where we are. And it's all Australians. Same at Whistler. That's why I was thinking it. Like, it's all Australians that work up there. And so they have Nanaimo bars. And so I got one. And I said to the guy, do you even know what this is? And he was like, nope. He said, Canadians all know. He's like, I don't even know how to pronounce it. But anyway, any Canadian that's listening, they're probably now craving a Nanaimo bar. And everybody who doesn't know what it is, investigate it because they're delicious.
Okay. I will look into this.
Okay. And this is Charlie every now and then throws out a would you rather for my speed rounds.
Okay.
So this is a really easy one. He asked me this the other day on the way to school. And I was like, dude, this isn't even a hard decision. Would you rather have $1 million or $100 million?
Wow, that's a math question. I don't know.
I know.
I think just a million's fine, actually. I don't think we need that much.
No? Yeah, you could buy a couple extra yaks. You'd be all set. Yeah. You could get your kiln.
Oh, that would be good. I would like that.
I said $100 million. I was like, if you're giving me a choice... I'll take $100 million. Usually he gives me like really crazy ones that are usually gross. So when he gave me that one, I was like,
young boy.
Yes. I was like, I'm going to save this one for Rachel.
This one's nice and easy.
Yeah. That's right. She'll love it after I've asked her all these other weird things. Well, that's the end of my list of things.
That's it. Oh, okay.
I know that was pretty easy, right?
Yeah, it was.
No, it was just so nice to actually like hear your voice and know a little bit more than, you know, now I feel like I won't be stalking as much on Facebook.
Yes, now we're friends for sure. Now.
Yeah, that's real right. That's real friends. We've had a 45-minute conversation. I can go back to looking at your foggy yak pictures and not feel weird about it.
Yeah, don't feel weird. They're on Facebook. I mean, come on.
Is there anything that you can think of that you want to say that, like, upcoming things or anything you want, like, where people can see your work? When is this show coming down that's up now?
The 29th of December, and that's in Portland at 1953 Northwest Kearney. But it is open by appointment, so you can look at the Vernissage Gallery website or check my website out.
Okay, cool. I'll put all those links. I always do a great big post that goes with every episode, so I'll put all the images of everything we've talked about, and then I'll put links to all of that stuff so people can go and check it out. And if anybody needs a commission of deer bursting through their restaurant wall, they can call you. Well, no. They can call you in 2 months.
True.
Yeah. You're not touching anything for another month or two.
Yeah, I'm going to take a little break.
Yeah, good for you. Good for you. Well, I'm glad that we got Skype, and I cannot believe this call did not drop off.
I know. It's a miracle.
It is a holiday miracle. La, 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 la. All right. Well, thank you so much for doing this. And the next time I have a show, I will probably call you because that's how I roll.
Well, I would love that. And thank you for having me.
Of course. And I guess I will probably see you on Facebook.
Definitely. I'll see you there.
Okay. I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you.
Bye. Yak friends. How fantastic is it that she has yak friends? Also, can you believe she's self-taught? That is amazing. And yes, I really, really do wish that I could get just a tiny bit of her handiness. I guess I'm going to have to try Google and see what happens. Be sure to pop over to my site, thejealouscurator.com, to see all of the work, and yes, the photos from Facebook. Okay, I realize I sounded like a bit of a stalker, but wait until you see Rachel's yak photos. They're really cute. They're frolicking and running and playing hide and seek. You got to go over there right now and look. Thank you so much to Rachel for figuring out Skype so that she could talk to me. Thank you to Satyar for supporting yet another episode. And as always, huge thanks to you for listening. There will be one more Art for Your Ear next weekend, and then I'm going to be taking a little break to hang out with my boys over Christmas. But yes, we will squeak one more in for 2017 next weekend. See you then.